Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party Network. I'm Darren Moser, your host, and join with me, as always, are my two strandees, Philip and Daniel. Gentlemen, another week, another bit closer to Picard, because that's really what we're all waiting for, isn't it? Or, sorry, I meant Season 3, Star Trek Discovery, Philip.
Lower Decks is animated show is what I'm really counting down to. You know, they even give us a date, so
wait, do we know when that's coming out?
That's, yeah, that makes it more fun to count down.
You count like the traveler counts, like with random impossible numbers.
That's right. I exclamation point. So, you know.
Wait, they're negative. They're impossible numbers. Well, any rewatches in your guys's past week or books? Audio, there's lots of ways to consume Star Trek universe right
liquid
now.
Liquid form, possibly.
I stumbled across a new YouTube channel yesterday, just because of all the Star Trek in my YouTube history, I assume. And it's these two ladies, and one is a seasoned TNG vet, and the other is a newbie. Okay. And that's like, that's their shtick, right?
Ooh.
And so they're watching straight through, you know, they're watching each episode and commenting on it. And they were talking about Code of Honor, and
this was going good, Daniel.
And then
I actually did do something Star Trek, because I was at my Star Trek group met Saturday, and someone brought the same thing up.
Yeah, it was interesting. I liked it. It was late last night, and I was just watching.
Is it like a series they're doing?
Yeah, they're doing the whole series. Okay. And I would recommend it, because it was very entertaining, but I don't know the channel or the name or anything like that. But if you look it up, I'm sure you could find it.
All right. If you find it in your history or anything like that, just let us know, because that would be interesting.
First time trekking interested in that YouTube version.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but it's always cool seeing different people talk about the Trek. Awesome. What about you, Philip? Any new books arrive, posters on the back wall?
Nothing Star Trek related, though. I did play, so my Star Trek group, which I usually don't go to because I live far away, but I happened to be working in that town that day. So I played it, it was like a board game day. So a game that I ended up playing, I've always wanted to play it, but this is my first time. Flux, I don't know if you're all familiar with that. It's a card game.
Flux?
I'm having twitches now from D&D.
But there's different versions, of course, of this game. This is a Star Trek Deep Space Nine version of Flux, and it's a cool game. Something I would really like, because I can't explain the whole game, but like there's the goal changes. So like, say the goal is to have, you know, all the Ferengi. Well, you can change the goal card mid game, and you can add rules. And like, those are all the different cards. So the game is constantly changing about what rules are, how many you draw, how many you have to play, what the goal is to win, because that's all part of the cards that you can play down. And so it's actually a pretty cool game. I mean, they do a million varieties of the concept, but this was a Deep Space Nine one, so it was kind of cool. And the artistry is very nice. Who does the cards?
Is it actually licensed? Stuff?
I want to say no. I mean, you said Star Trek.
I was gonna say most of the Flux stuff I've seen have been like Star Trek in air quotes, like it's a sci-fi thing, and you can tell it's paying homage.
But I mean, they had names.
I've never seen an official.
You know, there's a Cisco. There's a Nog. There's, you know, and you know. So I don't know. It's sketchy. But anyway, but it is fun. So I certainly recommend it for anyone looking for some tabletop funnery. Because you could do two players. You probably want at least three to make it a little more fun. So at least three. So,
well, let's see. I didn't watch any new Trek this week, but I do feel we're getting close to, I think, another one of the book releases. So I'm looking forward to that. And we did get another short Trek. So
we did.
We can discuss that. I don't even remember the title.
The Trouble with Edward.
Trouble with Edward. That's right.
Because you see, there's an episode called "The Trouble with Tribbles."
Yes,
about Tribbles. Yeah. So do you see what they did there?
It's basically what did I say? They took the concept of Enterprise Klingons and did it to Tribbles, where they're like, you know what? What's not fully fleshed out in canon? Like, to the 10th degree, Tribbles. So, it's a little murky, even though we visited the first time we've seen Tribbles twice in Tribbles and Trouble and Tribulations. We need more. We need to know. And
animated, we've had it.
Yeah. But basically, in a nutshell, we see one of Pike's officers is promoted to captain. She gets her own science ship. I don't know if she was blue shirt beforehand, but she's in Command Gold now, and she's on her ship. And basically, barely call him a Starfleet officer, makes very poor decisions. Basically,
Barclay?
Like,
say it.
Basically, basically, Tribbles in the beginning are, like, slow breeding, not, like, they don't do a lot. And
fragile.
Basically, as a source of meat, he is the one who makes it so that they are born pregnant, propagate like crazy. And basically, everything we know about Tribbles is because of his genetic tampering. And then that's it. And
how do you really feel, Darren?
What do you think, Daniel, story? There's some things I like about it, but
there's a lot to dig into real quick. But I think it's important to note that the main character, Edward, is played by John H. Benjamin. Right, John, I'm getting that right, right?
Yes, you're right.
Who of fame from Bob's Burgers and Archer, the famous voice actor, who's also been in a ton of other things. He's a great character actor. So very funny guy. Okay, so I will tell you, I loved the first 7 minutes of this. Like, I thought it was funny. I thought this was clever. We got this new Captain Lady character, and she was cool.
Because it's about her and her new command up to that point.
Up until
I feel like Janeway with Q. It's not Captain Lady.
Oh, sorry. That's fair. But I can't remember. I don't know any of these characters' names. So
Edward, Pike.
I don't know if she's captain anymore because she lost her ship. That's usually frowned upon.
How did she get a review without the shadow chamber? Because Michael got the shattered chamber. Yeah, so she must be. Gosh. I guess that's only for mutineers.
It does feel like it does feel like that this had a bigger budget than almost all of the other short treks, because usually it's like one or two characters. And here,
we got a new outside ship model. We got a ton of CGI Tribbles.
And we got all new characters, basically, and of course, Pike in the beginning. So it's like we had a bunch here. I feel like the whole thing falls apart because they show no restraint, and they have to go and just meddle with canon for no reason. I don't know why. There's no point to do this. It feels so frustrating. But I like the idea that this dopey guy just likes to eat Tribbles or something, and I think that would have been perfect. But it feels like there's no subtlety. They just push it too far. But I really like the beginning. I like the setup, and I think it's funny. And then I just at the back end, the whole thing falls apart for me.
I like the ship. Like, it's kind of a saucer merged with two nacelles, and it's kind of cool. It's like a different look that we haven't seen.
This is our in joke for my wife and I when we go to plays. At the end, when you know someone is in the play, you can't think of anything. You're like, those costumes were sure nice. You were definitely on that stage.
The ship looked good. Although I just could not wrap my head around the choices this guy makes. Like, it's very it's like the antithesis of, this is not a Starfleet officer, because Starfleet officers aren't like this. Like, that was one of the things that I loved a lot about Star Trek, is that, not everyone's perfect, but everyone still has a sense of professionality, and this guy had none. Like, I would almost expect him to be like a civilian contractor or something. Like, he didn't seem like a Starfleet officer at all.
Yeah, because it's like when the captain asks, I don't know how long you've far. I mean, a little rough, but she's like, I don't know how far you got in your Starfleet career. Because he's a lieutenant, right? Which should count for something.
But she has a point. Like, you know, I mean, and like you were saying, like with Barkley, like, yeah, we get a little bit of that too in Barkley's first episode where Geordi's kind of, you know, like nobody wants to be around him. Like, it's just uncomfortable. And he kind of says the same thing where he's like, I don't really see how he got posted to the Enterprise. But at least he solved the problem at the end of the episode, you know. It could have worked where maybe he was a little quirky with Tribbles. Like, he really loved Tribbles, and like the whole Tribble meat thing would have been funny enough. But he didn't. But he wasn't the one that like genetically modified them, and he wasn't the one that, like. But he accidentally like feeds Tribble after midnight or something like that, and it makes it, you know. Propagate. So then it's more of like clumsiness instead of like deliberately genetically modifying the scourge upon the galaxy. That was a bit much.
Well, I thought when the Tribbles would repop or would you know, whatever, give birth, pop
out.
I was thinking instant gremlins. I
mean, it's very exactly. Gremlins, like.
Like someone spilled some water. So I thought, I mean, this is a nitpick out of the whole thing, but like the beginning where he's Captain Pike's like, oh, you know, our young science officer is off to take command. I'm like, that's odd that the young science officer was being made a captain, but okay, I guess, you know, I mean, you, nothing wrong with the actress, or, but I was like, why young?
It made me think of the Wesley episode where he was put in charge of like one of the science teams, and he kind of was a little bit out of his league until he like asserted himself. I liked her. She was a great character. Like, I felt like she was, you know, ready. But she and the rest of the crew is fine. There's just this one moron, you know, is just dragging, I mean, like, down the team.
How is she getting a command before number one, I guess, you know?
Well, it's a much less prestigious posting.
That's true. It's a small sign.
And it lasted a day or maybe two.
Yeah, a couple of weeks. And I was her and I know this is going way too deep into it, but that's where I go. So her command style, because I've been reading the Trek Core review and other things about it, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, so like, you know, she's, you know, for a first time captain, right? You know, she seems to be doing very well. And even in that awkward first meeting, she's still trying to draw him out a little bit, you know, and trying to like, okay, you're special. But, you know, she's still trying to engage and then explain, like I was talking about the moral, you know. So, you know, she's trying to engage. But then I can't tell whether she just gets along with people that she gets along with and then just like gives up on him. You know, of course, like, is there no first officer on the ship? Like, who's doing the HR paperwork on this guy?
That's true.
And, like, does he just represent, like, who does he report to? Just directly to the captain, I guess? It's a small ship.
That's true. Everyone seemed to be reporting directly to her. So she was.
Well, he's representing the Tribble Department. So.
Right.
And he's the only one, so.
Where he'll be no Tribble at all. Well, and also, Darren, when you were saying with the shift. And not that this is bad, because again, like, I mean, largely I didn't like this, so this is where I'm coming from, me complaining. But it's a comedy, but about the halfway or three-fourths point, when the Tribbles, well, I don't know why he's not wearing pants, but beyond that, when the Tribbles start, you know, going crazy, it turns almost into dark comedy. Because, like, that one scene where, like, the woman was about to drown in Tribbles, like, I assume she didn't die, because they said only one person died, and that was Edward. But, I mean, that's like...
Yeah, it's...
Stuff's being funny a little bit.
I mean, that shot was kind of for the trailer, because I think it was in the teaser for the short trek.
Mm.
But, yeah, it... And then it's like, no, this is a serious problem. And it wasn't like a serious problem like in the Trouble with Tribbles with like, oh, they're in the machinery again. What up, wah. You know, no, this was like, people about to be dying, like, real soon. Like, this is really bad.
And if you think of the Tribbles are at any... They are alive, I mean, they are. They're an organic life form. I mean, they all died, right? Or a lot of them did?
Well, eventually, they're all going to starve to death.
Well, I mean, didn't the ship blow up or something? Or I don't know. But...
And I think you said, like, the hull was wrecked, probably right. From them just pushing. I don't know. And I guess also just the fact that Edward had, like, no redemption at all. Like, he didn't get it at the end where he was, like, trying to save his... No, he just stood there like an idiot... With the wave of Tribbles heading towards him, it just...
I mean, yeah. And there's... I don't know. Again, humor is a, you know, if you explain, it's not good. But, like, I thought there could have been a better punchline. I mean, I can't do it on the spot. But, you know, give me an hour and I'll think of something. But, like, the punchline of, like, you know, you called me an idiot or dumb. And she's like, no, you called me dumb. And, you know, and then, like, that's the punchline. And then he dies. I mean, that doesn't make, okay. I mean, you know, that's not a punchline.
Yeah.
And I also thought, just from a Starfleet captain perspective, she had a phaser in her hand. You know what I do when he's going raising? I stun him, drag him down the hallway with us, and we escape. Instead of just like, oh, he's being weird, I'll just let him die. But
yeah, that would have been interesting if she stunned him, dragged him off, and then we see him in the court-martial seat, and he's just like, what did I do? Like, he doesn't get it at all, or something like that. I don't know. There's cool characters. I'm glad to move on from them. I don't need to see more.
I will say, here's the thing, though. One thing, though, that's I can really appreciate, even if it's a failure, is experimenting and trying something different. I like this sort of thing.
That's true.
Like in comparison to what was last week's called with Spock?
Q&A.
In comparison with that, where it was safe and something we already knew, safer. And like this is what I want Short Treks to be. I don't care, like. Go ahead and throw it at the wall and see what sticks. And maybe it won't. Some will be bad, but maybe some will be awesome. And experiment with the formula. And I think that's what the whole point of this is.
You know what would be really interesting? And I know this is a bridge too far, if you will. If they really wanted to play with this because of the fan film Mugahuga Haga. But, like, the Short Treks are, I believe, the timeline. You know, I don't know what the fan guidelines are, but it has to be short, right?
I think it has to be 15 minutes max.
So, and this was, what, 14? Anyway, my point is...
And, like, a third of that was credits. Like, and my it point actually is, wasn't that long.
Yeah. And my point is, and the after credits, which we have to talk about, that why not have, because you're saying how experimental it is, Daniel, have people submit. And then you, after this competition, will be picked... a bunch of them for Short Treks, either the story or the actual video.
In the Star Trek universe.
Mm-hmm. Tales from Star Trek or something like that. Yeah. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh. Like, it could be like a genre. Like, one is set in the 20, you know, the Pike's time. You know, one is, you know, or, you know, two will be chosen from that time period. And then you have to submit animation. And then you have to submit, you know, I don't know, you know, if you really want to
or
be experimental.
Or just do, like, an annual... little film award festival, like Star Wars does that with when they have their celebrations, where they have just little film festivals where people can submit their stuff, and it's literally judged by, you know, Lucasfilm, but no one ever is going to confuse that with something that's canon. So yeah,
like one thing
like
that you don't want to do is needlessly meddle. Like, you don't have to explain why Tribbles have a lot of baby Tribbles. There's just like, I don't understand why they felt the need to do that. And it's like,
yeah,
whatever. Okay. Yeah.
Because I also didn't, again, whatever, humor subjective. I didn't get the buildup. There's two jokes that I didn't get. One I didn't get, one I thought wasn't worked well. So the one I didn't get was, you know, injected my own DNA. Whose? Of course it was his. We all knew it was his. Did anyone not think the answer was his? And then they played that for about like a 3-minute joke.
Yeah. I didn't get why that was supposed to be a joke.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like they're not saying like, sorry to be crass. I'm not saying like he had sex with it. Like if that was the joke they're trying to make, that's where you can do like, ugh.
I think they were just trying to make the fact that he, part of him is in the meat that they were eating. I think that's what. But, and that was, I think, the strongest part of the whole episode was when they're all sitting at the table and he's just digging a hole for himself as he's like, oh, yeah, well, it's like treble meat is like this. And it's like, and I ate some. And everyone, and it's just getting cringier and cringier as everyone's like, dude, like, do you have any sort of ethics at all? And he's just like, no, just breed them to eat. And they're just like, yeah, but. Are they intelligent? He's like, oh, just make them brain dead. And it's like, what?
That's
okay, that part, I mean,
yes,
that was
everything
good.
Up until that scene, like, or everything, that scene ends the point where I think the episode is watchable. Like, I like that bit, that
yeah.
whole bit.
Well, because the next scene is the anonymous messages.
Yeah. But
yeah,
that becomes,
and then it all starts to go downhill.
if you watch that first scene in the conference room, you could see him. Mm. They could play that as he's just awkward. He just doesn't get it. He's just really obsessed with this one thing.
Like, he literally doesn't understand that this is, like, morally ambiguous at best.
And it's
best.
Like the next scene, when you do that next scene where he calls Starfleet, that turns him too malicious. And I think that's where it changes the tone. And I don't – that's where it lost me. I'm like, no – because you wouldn't.
Yeah. I mean, he's becoming a serial killer at some point.
See, that next scene should have been him, like, doubling down, but in a good way of, like, no, I'm going to – I know this is going to work. I'm going to prove it works. And it's all positive, but then it goes horribly, horribly wrong. But you're right. Like, because he had phoned home to mommy beforehand, like, does that mean he's been on other ships and he doesn't like the commander? He just says, like – I'm just going to send anonymous messages.
Is that why the other captain left? What happened to the other captain? We never got the story.
True. He turned into a trooper and got eaten.
So, yeah, I mean, it was good. It had good parts and good potential. I think we're all kind of agreeing the latter half just kind of fell apart.
Also the joke that halfway worked, but, like, the whole, like, this conversation is over, and then that lasted for, like, there's a theory in comedy where something can be funny and then not funny and then turn around and be funny again. Which is, I think, what they were trying to do, but it didn't work.
Yeah. He's like, no, if I keep talking, then this conversation still goes. It's like, dude, get out.
That's where I'm just
out.
Like, Captain hits the button and says security.
Yes.
And then
court-martial.
Or hits a button and, like, psych to sights him, like, into his quarters or something like that.
It makes her look like a weak leader because she isn't, at like, actually putting her foot down at that point. And it's like, this scene goes on way too long. It's bad cringy, unlike good cringy, like the earlier scene. It's,
Well, like we've said before, we have about a month until the next short
trek.
Hang on,
can I ask a question? Because Philip mentioned something about an after-credit scene, and I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, I didn't see an after-credit scene.
Guys, do we need to stop for a second so you can
I know, I don't have CBS All Access anymore.
It's
not
sure,
it's got to
be on YouTube, right?
It was a, I'll tell you, it's a cartoon advertisement for Tribble cereal. I think you, none of those words you think I'm making up, that it's 100% true.
I gotta look it up real quick. Trouble with Edward? What was it?
Trouble with Edward.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
I see a little thing called Tribble cereal.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll give you, go ahead. You have family there anyway.
It's okay. We'll just we'll pause this moment.
Sure.
USS Breakfast or something. I miss this.
Yeah, I didn't
completely
pay attention.
I did too.
They're wearing little uniforms.
Yeah, I was just seeing that.
And of course, and it's like the whole site gag where it just keeps coming. So furry it tickles.
And Edward, oh jeez.
It's my DNA.
Harry Berry.
Harry Spicy Ranch.
Okay. That's a thing that exists now. Okay.
I mean, doesn't that complete it, though? I mean,
Wow. It's like they doubled down on.
That's silly.
Okay, so we've just watched the Tribble cereal bit, which is on YouTube.
You
Does that make it better or or worse?
Yeah, no.
It's,
Because look, I get it. It's comedy. Is this canon? Is that commercial
canon?
No,
it's completely out of, it's completely for us because, one, they don't have commercials like that back then, in Star Trek. They don't have, like, it's a 20th century thing, 100%. It even looks like old VHS, like they doctored up the grain a bit.
But that's a great question, Philip, because now we... Are short treks canon? Is this character now the one who created Tribbles to be? Is this part of what we know about Star Trek?
I I think Short Trek is canon.
In the new encyclopedia that ever gets made, in the triple entry, do they have to say genetically engineered by protein specialist Edward?
By Edward.
Guess we'll find out.
It didn't make it better, but
I didn't either know about it until I was reading the Trek Core review, which was not wholly negative.
Okay, that also makes a little more sense, because I remember when I was watching it and then it like got to the credits and I'm like, there's like 4 minutes left of this. Like that's crazy. That's like a third of this runtime. And then but if they tucked another little video, of course I didn't watch through all the credits, so I missed it. But well,
yeah.
Yeah, well, hey, Philip, override your replicator safety and order up a bowl of tribbles.
They're pregnant with flavor.
Tribbles. Is that what they say? Oh, dear Lord. Yeah, it's... Yeah, it did, like I said, it didn't make it better.
You know what would be... Okay, so Daniel talking about experimentation, and so, you know, and I'm all for that. Wouldn't it be interesting, because almost all the tribble appearances, you know, TOS... TAS, DS9, have all been comical. I would be up for a dramatic tribble episode. Like, make it, I don't know how but make it like a dramatic one. Make it a tragic, make it a, you know, death defying, you know, something, a tonal shift from what we expect. That would be an interesting story.
Now, would you, I was thinking about this too, because I was thinking about how would you handle a great tribble hunt episode? Now, would you?
Oh, that would be awesome. The Klingons going on a tribble hunt?
Would you do it ironically, where tribbles are still cute and squeaky, and the Klingons are just going full-bore Klingon on it? Or would you actually do it serious, where you would somehow present an actual threat by the tribble?
Yeah, I mean, you could show a devastated Klingon outpost or settlement, you know.
Right, where it's like everything's
been
eaten.
So, like, would you just have, like, you'd cut to middle of the street Klingon with a tribble in his cavernous chest just eating his, you know, everything or whatever? Like, I don't know how you would present that without it being silly. I don't know how you would do that.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's the challenge. I think that's a fun challenge that you could do. Yeah.
I agree, though. I think that's a good idea.
And we can stop talking to her anymore. But, like, when they were trying to stun the tribbles, like, A, I can't tell when you stun a tribble. Like, there's 50 million of them. I don't know which one you just hit. And then, two, what do you then do with it?
Right. Well, and what is it eating?
Because it's, think like... That's again, I know this is only supposed to be, you know, mindless entertainment. But, yes, that's a good question. Because in Trouble with the Tribbles, they were eating the grain. That was the whole point of the episode.
Yes, very important point of the episode, yeah.
On my grain.
Here they just replicate.
Yeah. Well, and again, because we had to explain it, now you have a moment of like, well, how did Bones not look up this when they first saw the tribbles?
Now, more importantly,
did
the tribble that saved James Kirk's life in Star Trek Into Darkness, was that one of these batches of tribbles here?
Oh my gosh.
That's why it was a super tribble.
Because, no, this is would still be post-Kelvin, so yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's enough tribble for today, guys. What I wanted to talk about, and this is a little bit of just pulling something together, but so we know Star Trek Picard is coming up, and there's been a lot of talk about, are we going to see the Enterprise E? Because, that was the most recent ship that Picard was on, as far as we know, before something happened and it all went bad. Don't know what that was, but what I wanted us, and you guys can help me decide, I wanted us to either talk about what we think the E has been up to since Picard has been not assigned to it anymore, or have we moved on to the Enterprise F? It's been like 20 years. So is there an Enterprise F floating around in Star Trek Picard?
I mean, presumably even if the E lived a long, healthy life, which it probably didn't, it would be decommissioned by now. So
Excelsior. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, the model, but like the NCC 2000 still wasn't.
That specific one.
Yeah. I mean, there still may be sovereign class ships.
Stargazer.
So are we gonna get a are we gonna Stargazer. Get a scene where Jean-Luc hijacks the mothball Enterprise E?
Well, still, it's in the Smithsonian, the Space Smithsonian, obviously.
The Space-sonian.
Yeah. It's just the Space Museum. No one really cares about the Air Museum anymore, to be honest.
What would you want to see? I don't know. I don't know.
Yes, it's like, I would be okay if, like, the Enterprise E was still out there. Like, maybe it's not the flagship anymore, but there's, like, another captain
on
it.
It's a trainee
like
ship.
Wesley is captain and...
Yeah.
I don't even...
Oh, boy.
Well, we have... Well, I'm trying to think who would the captain be, because it's not Riker and Troy.
Captain Wildman.
She's moved up through the ranks.
Well, it's been 20 years.
Get a seven
or what if Geordi was the captain? Because we know we've seen Captain LaForge.
He'd be really old.
But he had the Odyssey, right? Wasn't that what
he had
in that episode?
Was it the Odyssey?
Yeah.
But how many years in the future was that? Yeah.
That must have been before, I assume before Picard would be. I wonder if I wonder if they're going to like count
that. You mean the future that Kim and Chakotay saw before they...
Yeah.
Oh, wait, someone research what year Timeless goes to in the future. But yeah, I think it's easier to just keep the E. Like, it maybe it's in the Spaceonian, maybe it's patrolling. That's the episode title. Just letting you guys know. it's all the good parts. But nobody wants to see like the old documents. Take me to the Spaceonian. That's what we want to see.
Here's my thinking though. I kind of want to explain it. The E is comfortable and familiar, and an F would be new and interesting, per se. Like, I'm very nervous about Picard having already to balance those scales.
Right.
You know, like, we talked about with the trailers and stuff. Like, we get these old characters. It's great. Do something new with them. Let's have fun with them. So, it's like, it's kind of, are we worried they're going to lean too hard into the old stuff, or are we worried that they're going to bring up new stuff we don't care about, like all these new characters? It's the same thing with the ship.
I mean, I'm not saying he goes on the ship, or even like, I'm just saying we could reference it or see it go on a mission, or, you know, I feel like that's enough of a link to that era. But with that, but I feel like maybe the F is too far. Like, that's a whole other ship you have to establish, that the only connection we have is the fact that it's Enterprise.
Unless it's like because it's the new flagship, it's,
or maybe
like,
he's
pursuing Picard
launching
and...
it like Kirk did in the Enterprise B. Picard's launching the F, and then he's just got to step in and save the day because the captain's an idiot, Captain Edward.
Yeah, oh boy. And just a quick correction. So Captain LaForge is of the Challenger.
Oh, okay. I didn't think it was the Odyssey, but I couldn't remember.
It's a galaxy class starship, which, you know.
Use the model. Use the model, guys.
And it takes place in 2390.
Okay. So nine years before.
10 years. Yes.
Or 10 years before, yeah.
Picard.
So.
Yeah. There you go.
Wait, did it? It was a regular.
Regular old.
The galaxy class, or did it have the third nacelle?
I don't think it had the third nacelle.
No.
Okay.
You never go full third nacelle.
But
but yeah, I like it because when you said F, because then it's just going to be awkward. Like you said, it's just going to be Enterprise B all over again.
Yeah, so do we want...
Because all we're thinking is a new Enterprise without Captain Picard at the helm.
He's like, is there something wrong with your chair, Jean-Luc?
And your uniform, you keep tugging at it. So.
We have to get to Jay at
Look,
some point.
We got time.
Speaking of temp timeline research, someone brought up on the internet, and you know how the internet is, how close the Enterprise J timeline might be to where Discovery is.
It's before.
But how much
so
before?
Discovery went past the
J? Because if the Federation has fallen,
Right.
Go, because, whoa, guys. Whoa. So follow, the there's J, like six stars on the flag still, guys. We're still. I mean.
We're doing just fine. We're doing just fine.
And then someone walks up. Someone walks up and like pulls off one of the other stars. Sorry, sir. We lost Andoria again. It seceded again.
Let's see. When is the Enterprise? Because the Enterprise J is after Relativity, right? I think.
Oh, after
somebody's
after
done all this research, yeah. I promise.
All right, pause.
The J was 26th century. That's 400 years, 300 years before Discovery. Is it?
Okay.
It is. Yeah, no, yeah. It wasn't like the 31st century, which is okay. So Discovery is way out there.
Okay.
Way out there. Well, let's see when was.
While you're researching star dates.
What century is Discovery going to be set in?
Well, it'd be 1,000 years. It would be the 20th. It would be the 30th.
Yeah,
30th
I think
century,
it's something
right?
like that.
So I mean,
33rd. Okay, so Relativity is actually after the J. The Enterprise J was the 26th yep. century. Relativity is the 29th century, making it time about ship. 200 or 300 years. No, the time ship relativity. Yep. And then Discovery is now in the 33rd
century. Okay. So that makes sense. I mean, it's still a couple hundred years. Like, that's a long time.
You know, it is.
It's far enough out where they can just kind of do whatever.
Do you think the time.
You would think so, Daniel, but they're still. Yeah, oh, that's true. The temporal. Maybe one of those new characters is from the Department of Temporal Investigations.
Which, you know what? Would be cool. I'm going to throw that out.
I'm not going to lie. That would be awesome. As long as he wasn't like one of the suit guys, but he was more like action. Like,
and every episode, the flag changes just a little bit. Like the Voyager to Your Hell episode, every time they try to change something.
Or I was thinking like Marty McFly, like the photo, like a star starts to like fade away. Oh no, we did something wrong. The star is disappearing. Or it's at the end, it's like one star in the middle, and they're like, oh, that's not good.
So that guy did see it coming, and his whole mission, but it all fell apart anyways, even though he tried to fix it. So now he's trying to go repair it, try to fix the future to fix the past.
There's the other thing, too, with Discovery, which is when did the AI singularity come from? Because that came from the future, too.
Right. I've already forgotten about it. But yes, you're right.
Control.
You're right.
I can't take control seriously. It keeps making me think of Get Smart. And but anyway. Okay, well, I don't know. I think as cool. I'll just say this. I don't think we're going to get a scene where Picard is on the bridge of a new Enterprise F launching. I just do not. No. That's not the type of story we're telling here. But
it'd be a heart.
I do like the idea.
Maybe season two.
Maybe. But I do like the idea of, you know, I don't know. I get the feeling that Picard is off doing a mission that he's not supposed to. Like, that he hasn't been officially sanctioned for. And I want to see the Enterprise F with its new captain, whatever, is
sent out to get him.
Or, like, in the task force that's dealing with something. Or, you know, something like that. Like, oh, I want to see that.
And then
I think it's more likely that we would see Picard in the Enterprise D chair than anything else, honestly.
Just
in terms of like, because I remember an interview
Enterprise
that Patrick
D
did.
Blew up, Daniel.
No, I understand that, but it's going to be a flashback.
I mean, they have a chair
or
still
dream
somewhere,
sequence
yeah.
or something. Yeah, because Patrick was talking about it. I remember an interview he did, and he was like, I didn't want to
put
the uniform on
already.
And do that.
We
whole
saw
thing
that
again.
In the vineyard. In the with Data.
Well, yes, he also talked about how they contradicted that as soon as he got there and were like, we're going to do a flashback sequence. But he said that's right. What he didn't want to do, like, for the whole series. He didn't want to go and do the whole same thing. But I would think, honestly, that it would be more likely that we would get another flashback type scene on the Enterprise D bridge than we would with the Enterprise.
Just because in the public consciousness.
I'm not saying I want Captain Picard on the Enterprise E. I just want to show that the Enterprise E is still out there because he's obviously removed from Starfleet. Right. He is not in Starfleet right now. So the Enterprise E has another captain. It's off doing its thing. And that makes sense to me. And I just want it referenced. I'm not even saying we have to see it.
Presumably, and again, this is, you know.
Hey, you could even confirm that DS9 is still there, you know, or Voyager got home or anything.
Yes.
Like, there's, like, just.
Well, Voyager did get home. I saw the last
episode. Yes, yes. But I mean, but you can reference it. I'm just saying, like, now that we're in the post Prime universe, meaning, like, post, like, shows we've seen.
Well, clearly Voyager got home.
Right,
Seven
no, but
is
I'm
on
just
the
saying,
show,
I want
so
I want those references. I mean, I want those connections.
Yeah. Voyager's also at the Smithsonian. It's really crowded.
Oh, Smithsonian is the best. I love that place.
but I mean, so presumably
they built a really big space dock. Like, they just cranked up the scale on that sucker and just shoved it full of ships.
And the gift shop's free, so it's awesome. I presume, and presume is a key word here, that the incidents, quote unquote, where he left Starfleet or where he made the mistake and retreated to Earth, whatever, took place on the Enterprise E. I mean,
that's true.
Enterprise. And so I would assume there's going to be some sort of dialogue. That's when I left and gave up command to Captain Blank.
Yeah. Oh, Captain Blank, yes.
Yes, even if the inciting incident is not the fall or the destruction of Romulus, if it's not, which it appears not,
I don't.
To be, but at that point, he was on the.
I mean, if the story is he's captain of another ship, I'll be like, come on, guys.
Well, I think okay. So, do we think unification has happened?
Nah. Oh, what do you mean by that?
You mean actual unification?
The Romulan and the Vulcans are working together. Like,
I mean, I buy that if we're keeping with the timeline that we think we're going to keep with, Romulus has been exploded.
Right.
I meant
did that happen before Romulan exploded? I'm not saying in what order, but I'm just saying, like, do we think?
No, yeah, no way, no way, because there's nothing that's never been a part of any.
Okay,
so
maybe
that we
it
know,
happened
at least.
Maybe the Vulcans, you know, accepted Romulan
right.
refugees.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, the Romulans have more reason to come to the table after the destruction of their home planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're desperate,
and
like the Klingons were after Kittimer exploded.
Movie Vulcans are, you know.
Right, exactly.
So,
yeah, exactly.
Okay, so.
It's the same position.
And because this is my thinking, like, we're pretty confident that the destruction of Romulus is still an established fact. And this is after that. And then we could have... because in the movies, I got the impression that... I don't know if they were trying to stop it from blowing up. Because isn't that what the red matter was supposed to do? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
but
it's supposed to contain
but they
the
didn't
supernova.
Get it done in time or something like that.
Right, the right. contractor overpromised and underdelivered. There were cost overruns. There were delays.
So yeah, so we could see like the fallout from that, and obviously, I think the Enterprise would be involved in all of that.
It's so hard to tell because a lot of what we're talking about comes from the snippets in 09 and Countdown. And we don't know how much
that's
they're
true.
Taking for canon. Now, we assume, of course, the big event
the destruction
is,
of Romulus,
is going to be
yeah.
at least assumed. But even in the trailers, that doesn't seem to be the inciting
event. No one has said
event.
The word Romulan or Romulus in a trailer.
That's
yeah.
a good point.
Yeah. There. I mean, obviously, Romulans do
well,
play a big part, but it doesn't
Are you
seem
saying
to
the
be
inciting incident of Picard, like the series? Yeah, no. I don't,
yes.
I don't think that is. I think it like, might be when, the inciting when, incident on why he left the Federation.
Well, that's what we mean, yeah.
Well, yeah, no, because like when Data, like he's talking to Data, and then he has flashbacks.
Right.
It's not
it's
to the destruction.
Some sort
of planet.
Bombardment of
it's
some.
It's to the bombardment.
Planet.
Yeah, so we don't. There's a piece that the writers are putting in that we don't know yet. So it's kind of hard to work around that.
So yeah, but yeah, I mean, I think it would be. We would all like to know the fate of the Enterprise E. In some ways. And whatever. I mean, you know, as much as I carp about Discovery stuff, I'm leaving Picard a wide net to operate in, for whatever bizarre reasons that is. But, like, I don't want to necessarily see the Enterprise E because I don't know what they'll do with it, honestly, and I'd rather they not mess it up in my memory. Don't ruin my childhood. No, but I mean, like, but I don't mind the people, because the people are still around, and you can...
True.
I can see the fates of the people, but the ship, you know what, I don't just...
No, guys, what we gotta see is the Enterprise E with a third nacelle, because that's what you do. Oh, you build the ship. I don't know how it would look, but...
I think it's a different attitude with Picard than it is Discovery, for a lot of reasons that we don't really need to go into. But we've seen the D now, technically, in Picard timeline. They didn't change
the hologram
or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't see why they would.
So I don't think...
I think what happens is when he puts his handprint down, it flashes holographic representations of every ship you are a captain of.
Oh, yeah. I think that's what I was saying last week.
Stargazer, yeah. Enterprise
D, Enterprise
E.
It's like where he starts to read, like... the list of his accomplishments, and then the guy's just standing there like, okay, yes, here's your visitor badge up on the left.
And the E still looks modern and sleek. I don't think that they would feel the need to tinker too much. So even if we did see it, but my question is, do you guys, what would you prefer? Would you prefer that, is it more heartbreaking that Picard just retires, somebody else gets the E, and that's it. It's just another ship out there. Or something tragic happened. The ship goes down. Like, I don't know. I don't know what I
want to
see.
It
kind of
reminds me, and you know, I always do this, like of a Doctor Who.
Of course it does, Dan.
It does. Because often a doctor gets quote-unquote killed when he regenerates. So, you know, the ninth doctor gets the energy of the TARDIS. The tenth doctor takes radiation. But what I like about the 11th Doctor is he dies of old age. Right. I want that to happen every now and then. I would like a Starfleet vessel, Enterprise,
to actually get retired,
to
go into the mothball fleet. Because honestly, when you go to the part where the Enterprises, there's lots of gaps, guys. I'm just going to say it. There's gaps in our collection of Enterprises in the Spaceonian because a lot of them got destroyed. Sorry to be blunt, but yes. Yeah, no, I agree with you, Philip. I think... I'm fine with it being out there, you know. I think they could play it for a cool moment where, you know, I don't want it to be just the Enterprise E. I want it to be like a small flotilla is sent to investigate X, and Picard's also there, and maybe he's in hiding, and he sees the ships drop out, and we get a little bit of, like, first contact music as he sees the Enterprise E, like maybe they're hiding on an asteroid or something, and we see it, like, far away, but we can tell that silhouette, and it's like, oh, that was the ship that, you know... Just a moment like that. I would love that.
Yeah.
They could even use his knowledge of it to, you know, to hide. Oh, the Enterprise E has a blind spot and, you know,
when they were putting it back together after I rammed it into Praetor Shinzon's ship, that dorsal sensor ray never really quite worked like it should. So we should. and then all the other people there are like, you did what now? You know.
No, he just pulls out this whistle that he's been carrying the whole time that no one's asked about. He blows it, and the captain yacht just disengages.
No, 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 it's not a whistle.
E
it's a flute. It's a flute, Philip. It's like Willy Wonka with his flute to communicate with the Oompa Loompas. And then the captain's yacht drops down, and they're like, sir, the captain's yacht's leaving. It's like, come here, boy, come here. You know?
And then the captain's yacht drops the stupid...
Oh, the Argo? Oh, God. And then Picard just puts on those sunglasses, those, like, shades, like the... what they drove around with, and he's like, let's ride. And then he wakes up, and it was all a dream.
It's another one. He's been having a lot of dreams.
That would be cool. Actually, no, I would be... I'd actually be cool I'd be cool if he was having like flashbacks and we saw like shots from like the movies, like from Nemesis or not Nemesis, but like a like
clip
like,
show
like,
after
like
clip
Insurrection,
show after
like shots from
show.
Insurrection, and First Contact. I'm just thinking
like that he was rescuing Insurrection
Nemesis, but.
I'm just saying, Nemesis could become very significant here.
The rescuing.
There could be Riemanns all over the There could be Riemanns all over the place.
Oh, you're always telling us there are Riemanns everywhere, Daniel. Sheesh.
The Riemanns are coming. The Riemanns are coming.
the boy who cried Riemann. The
boy who cried Riemann. But yeah, no, I think, I mean, I see what you guys are saying. Like, it's not their goal to link everything up and have super big homages to the past, but...
Because the first link in that chain, Darren.
But what I am saying is that they have an opportunity having this take place after 90s Trek and having the same characters that you can reference things, you can talk. I mean, I want Seven to drop Janeway, to like say the word Janeway, you know.
Well, we know Picard knows Janeway, so there's no
reason.
Yeah,
I mean, she ordered him to Romulus, and like with or without the rest of the fleet, you know. Oh, we're so witty. And she's like, just go, John Luke.
Now here's the thing. This is the same production company that created Discovery. So what they could do is the cliffhanger for season one of Picard could be, sir, there's a ship coming in range. It's the Enterprise. One.
Oh, geez.
Seven. You know, the whole thing.
One, and then that last letter is credits.
And you got to wait to see if there's a bottom.
It's literally drawing out the E, and it's like, and it draws like enough for an F, but then it's like, did it connect the bottom? Oh, jeez.
Is it going to happen? And then they see next season on Picard season two. You know?
Honestly, I would lose a lot of respect for the producers if they did that. But
you know, they would have built up a whole lot of respect that whole season, Darren. So you say that, you know.
Yes. We hope. But all I'm saying is I want us to know that
the toy line
is out there.
I want that commercial of like, wow, you can enjoy Star Trek Picard at home with your Star Trek Picard action figures, complete with Captain Jot, action flute.
Action flute.
And Argo with four-wheel action. Yeah.
See, the action flute has to be ba 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 da ba, and, you know, summon the dragon's sword,
like,
and it's all...
White Ranger, yeah, it's just that, yes.
Oh, man. Well, you know, it was nice discussing all the things that we won't be seeing in Star Trek Picard. But, hey, we can dream. Hey, we're getting Data, Hugh, Seven, Will, and Deanna. So I think they're giving us a lot.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's more.
That's true.
We don't know.
I think they've already started production on season two, so...
Well, I think the interesting thing is I could be wrong. I could be 100% wrong. I'm operating under a premise that they are not telling us everything about returning characters.
That's true.
Now, it seems like they are. It seems like they are. Because they're like, no, guys, that's it. We're not doing a routine.
That's true.
Reunion.
Imagine if Seven and Hugh were on the other side. Imagine if they were like the antagonists.
Yeah. But I'm just like, what if we do get a Janeway? What if we do get a... Whatever, it doesn't matter. Name your character. But
Sisko.
Like,
I want to
see
Sisko.
Maybe they're not showing us all the cards. Right.
I was going to say Deep Space Nine is definitely underrepresented so far. I do think we're going to get two or three and maybe one big like tease at the end. I think we're going to get a couple of big bomb drops that we don't see coming. So I think we'll probably have to watch the show pretty quickly when it comes out.
Is it
dropping
think
all at
it
once,
is.
Or are they doing the weekly thing?
Weekly because it's CBS All Access and they want you to subscribe.
Yeah, I don't see why they would why they would not draw it out. Because it's only 10 episodes, I think.
It's 13.
It's not a lot.
Yeah.
Look, back in my day, I don't know. 22 episodes was the gold standard, guys.
My answer is I don't know, because I'm confusing it with Discovery. Discovery, they said, no, this is going to be 12 or 13, whatever it is. I haven't heard a Picard count yet. Maybe you have.
Well,
Wikipedia only has four listed, but I don't think
it's a miniseries, really, like Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Do they have titles yet?
No, but they are weekly. January 23rd, 30th, February 6th, and 13th. That's all that's listed.
For those who don't know your Seven timetable.
Yeah. Not
yeah, no, we'll have to see. I mean, and you know, I mean, one thing we haven't also kind of mentioned is we could see a run of 10 episodes. But another thing we could see is him dealing with Data's death. I mean,
clearly yeah. that's going to play a part, and, though. I mean, obviously.
Well, and although we've only seen him in a dream.
Or a hologram, possibly, because he's playing the poker, too, that we saw. Which, actually, now that I think about
it... Wait, I thought we only saw him painting the picture. Was there another scene?
No, that was the second trailer.
Oh,
the
first trailer. The first trailer.
Now that I think about it, the hair was right in the first trailer. What the hell happened to the second one? Anyway, now that I think about it. But anyway, I don't know... I mean, I know the obvious answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I don't know why he would have so much trouble with Data's death. You know, I get it, good friend, but it's also been like 20 or, you know, whatever.
Well, no, but I mean, like, in flashbacks and other things, we could see him dealing with the destruction of Romulus and Data's death and, like, just... And Beverly, something happened, I'm guessing. I don't know. That's...
We don't talk about her.
Apparently not.
She knows what she did.
She's the head of Starfleet Medical.
It's a whole Thomas Riker O'Brien thing, you know. I'm not going to say anything about Beverly. You know what she did.
She could be the big tease.
She's the head of Starfleet Medical. That's just where they put characters that they don't want to interact with for a season.
So over under, what are the chances that we see any Crushers in season 1?
I'm
going to
say low. Yeah.
Low?
I feel like they would.
Now,
I feel like they would have.
You said.
See, I said.
I
C,
feel they would
C,
have
no.
played
Mention,
it up
yes.
more. If it was going to be more.
They could be the hidden ones. They could be the ones.
They're in the background. You just have to.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, if you're a TNG cast member, you know you're LeVar, Michael. I mean, y'all are busy. You know, Gates, whatever. Like, are you? Are you like, how does that work? Like, you see Brent or Patrick.
Everybody's
doing
something over there.
Or Will, you know, and you're like, or Jonathan, sorry. And you're like, what's up?
You have to think that they all know. Like, they all know if they're included, either A, included, or B, planned to be included. I can almost guarantee it because, there's no way, like, Marina, I don't think, you know, Marina, she's a talkative person.
That's true.
She didn't let anything slip. This all came out. This was pretty, pretty secretive. I bet you they're all under NDAs. One
she didn't
way
say
other.
Anything when she was
and
making burritos,
sure.
which she talked to us, so.
That's right. Why didn't you tell us about this 5 years ago, Marina? What the hell?
We had something.
Hang on, that was the secret was in the beeps. We just weren't listening enough. When he was like beep, 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 beep.
it's Morse code, which I know, of course, and that means no.
But no, I mean it's like you said, and I think maybe that all comes back to what Philip said, where there's a piece we don't know. There's obviously something that we're not
hopefully
we're not given yet. So.
Well, I mean, if it is what we know, I mean, not that we know everything, of course, but I'm saying if it's the trailer we've seen, and if that's basically what it is, fill in all the gaps with story, that's fine. But I'm saying...
Well, I'm trying to remember, it might not be. With the beginning of Discovery, they didn't hint anything about the mutineer, did they? I don't think they did in the trailers.
I don't remember.
I don't think they did. So, I mean, if you look at that, the fact that that wasn't in the trailer for Discovery, and that's a pretty big part of season 1. So, well, we'll see. Well, it was fun talking about where the Enterprise E is, or has it docked at the Spaceonian, or is it off fighting the Jem'Hadar Borg hybrids, whatever we're fighting in the future, who knows. I know you thought Klingon Borg was bad, but either way, we will find out in only a couple months at the end of January when Star Trek Picard premieres and we can all renew our CBS All Access.
I already have it. Come on, people.
We had to watch Edward.
Yes, and the free pass got me that far. All right. Well, Daniel, if someone wanted to find you and talk to you about what if Jellicoe is still alive, where would they find you?
They could find me on Twitter at OneUpDan. That's the number one, not the word. And by the way, real quick, because you just brought it up, I was curious when the next short
next
trek
month.
Is. We are getting two short treks between now and Picard. We're
I think
getting
it's one
the
a
brightest...
month. It's like November and then December.
No, it's
and
two
then...
a month, isn't it?
Oh, I'm sorry. Three. We're getting. I'm sorry. I'm also reading the.
Yes,
wrong
it's
one.
It's.
That's the wrong yeah. season. Yeah. So we're getting one in November, two in December, and one in early January.
Okay, that makes sense.
So. Yeah. So yeah, keeping an ear out because I'm sure we'll be talking about those. But yeah, Twitter. What up, Dan? There I am.
And Philip, if someone wanted to talk to you about where our favorite Badmiral, oh god, just blanked on her name.
Nacheyev?
Yes, Nacheyev is. Where can they find you?
They can find me on Twitter at @ncpublicservant #PicardsMagicFlute.
And if someone wanted to talk to me about where they parked the Spaceonian in which Lagrange point, they can talk to me on Twitter, Twitter, Instagram under username Dr. Sci-Fi, DrSciFi.
I'd like to think there's a meta moment in the Spaceonian where they've taken the original Enterprise off the display for a moment to refurbish it.
To refurbish it. Yeah. And they take it to the space dock, but it's like really slow and everyone's looking at it from all angles. That'd be cool. So they have like the display area and then they have like a big space dock that's the refurbishment space dock. And every once in a while they pull them in and spruce them up a little bit.
No, I like that's how you actually go to the space, Sony. And like you just go into this pod, you put in your earbuds. And they just fly you around ships very slowly.
And then the little kids are like all snot-nosed and they're like, this could have been a hologram. Why are we here? This takes forever. Why aren't we using the transporters? I'm hungry. I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
Stranded here beneath the Spaceonian on City Alpha 3.